From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. History being made this morning, and we will put you in the middle of it. The nine justices of the highest court in the land will deliver within some minutes now their decision on the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act, the Obama health care reforms, Obamacare. However they decide, doctors, hospitals, insurance companies, most of all individual Americans, have a huge stake in money and in health and in the nature of our social compact in what they rule. This hour on Point, the Supreme Court delivers its decision on the Obama health care reforms. This will be an unusual hour of On Point. We are plugged in six different ways to Washington and the High Court. When they begin unveiling the decision, we will bring it to you immediately, just as quickly as it tumbles into public. We will listen, read, share, and analyze minute by minute, second by second, as it emerges. You can join the conversation this hour. What are you hoping for today? What are you expecting? What is at stake? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. With me first today, from Washington, Jody Kantor, correspondent for The New York Times and author of The Obamas. She wrote over the weekend about how the White House is bracing for the Supreme Court ruling. Jody Kantor, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Glad to be with you.
And in the studio with me is Stuart Altman. He's one of the nation's top experts on health care policy. He served as an advisor on health care policy for the 08 Obama campaign. He's professor of national health policy at Brandeis University. We'll hear in a moment from his conservative counterpart, Stuart Altman. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Tom.
And with us from Hanover, New Hampshire, is On Point News analyst Jack Beatty. Hello, Jack.
Hello, Tom, Jody, and Stuart.
What a big day. Let's get just a little bit of the sound of this. Here it was, March 20th, 2010. After so much struggle and effort, President Obama and opposition, President Obama addressed the nation after the House of Representatives passed his signature health care reform law.
Tonight, we answered the call of history as so many generations of Americans have before us. When faced with crisis, we did not shrink from our challenge. We overcame it. We did not avoid our responsibility. We embraced it. We did not fear our future. We shaped it.
The president in March of 2010, and as we speak, Jody, Stuart, Jack, it is beginning to come out from the Supreme Court. The news as it is beginning to break that we have a health care opinion. This is from SCOTUS blog, followed by many around the nation. Parsing it right now, and the news coming down here is, as we read it at this point, and we'll be interpreting and bringing you more in this hour, at this moment we're reading the individual mandate survives as a tax, interpreted by the court as a tax, and survives. More on that as it tumbles out. Jody Kantor in Washington, how is the White House braced for this day, this moment?
Well, they've been dealing with a lot of uncertainty because there are so many potential options here. But what is complicated is that this was President Obama's signature domestic initiative, and it really has two threats here. On the one hand, there's the Supreme Court, and then also, if Governor Romney wins the presidency in November, he has promised to repeal what he calls Obamacare.
Which means it would go back, John Boehner saying much the same thing today, telling Republicans not to spike the ball. Big crowds out in front of the Supreme Court now, everybody with cameras and signs and watching and listening. It's a complicated decision. The first word that we're getting, and we will clarify and confirm as we go here, the individual mandate surviving as a tax, but not much more than that at this moment. This being the justices are in the court. They are presenting. It comes out to the press room, and from the press room comes out to the world, and we are right on top of that. Jack, this day, a long time in the making.
100 years. This issue entered American politics in the 1912 campaign as part of Theodore Roosevelt's quixotic platform. And now here it is. And, you know, this issue of the tax, this goes back to the oral arguments where Justice Kennedy said, let's assume that Congress could use the tax power to raise revenue and to just have a national health service. How does that factor into our analysis? In one sense, it can be argued that is what the government is doing.
Jack, news as it's coming right here, the mandate is constitutional.
Yes.
The mandate is constitutional, and this, Chief Justice John Roberts joining the liberal wing of the court in this decision. Stuart Altman of Brandeis sitting across from me. What do you see in this?
Wow, I'm shocked. I can't tell you how pleased I am, but trust me, I didn't expect it. I kept saying if they had said it was a tax, it clearly would have been constitutional. They sort of skirted that issue, but the justices said, in fact, it is a tax, and therefore it is clear. This is wonderful news for those of us who believe America should join the ranks of every other the country.
We will hear in just industrialized countries. We'll hear in just a moment from a conservative analyst of healthcare policy. Stuart, you were advising Obama in 08. You're pleased by this and remind us of the implications. The court ruling again, and this is coming out step by step, that Justice Roberts joining the liberal wing of the court in saying the mandate will stand. That is the mandate that people must buy coverage or pay a penalty. This, of course, is the revenue stream that will fund all of the other features of this health care reform. Without them, it was all in doubt. With them, what do you say, Stuart?
With them, I think no question about it. The vast majority of Americans will have protection against the high cost of medical care. The mandate was a critical phase. I was one that believed that there was important provisions in the law that could go forward without the mandate. But the fact that the mandate is there makes the whole law work together. And I'm pretty sure that the rest of the law will be judged constitutional.
And again, we will see. We will know more within this hour, minute by minute. We're getting this from the Supreme Court itself, from SCOTUS blog, reporting on what's coming down from the bench in the court right now. And the latest, as we get it here, history unfolding, that the individual mandate stands, that it is seen as a tax, and therefore judged. We'll get the vote here in a moment, I hope, as constitutional. Chief Justice John Roberts voting with the liberal wing. And I'm reading here off the blog coming out. This is as of 10:13 a.m. The entire Affordable Care Act is upheld as a bottom line. This is an interpretation, but this is what we're getting straight from the court, with the exception that the federal government's power to terminate states' Medicaid funds is narrowly read. The Affordable Care Act, with provisions that would push more Medicaid coverage onto the states using the leverage of federal funding to do that. Now, the court has some reservations on that. We'll learn more about that as they go, not ruling it out entirely. Apparently here, limited but not invalidated, the reforms moves on its Medicaid provision. Stuart, what are you reading there?
Well, I must admit, I'm looking at the CNN blog, which says Supreme Court has struck down the individual mandate for health care.
Okay, then we are. This is live. This is rolling out, and it's confusing. We'll get it to you. Just let's keep going. We'll go through all the news sources. We've got the SCOTUS blog, which is reading it direct, saying upheld. We've got CNN striking down. This is thousands of pages of law in front of us. This is a complicated case before the court, and we are trying to get and convey to you the bottom line import just as quickly as it comes down. Jody Cantor in Washington, has there been any clear expectation as the city, as the Capitol, waits for this ruling? Has everybody felt like it's up in the air?
It's been a matter of huge debate. And remember that the Supreme Court is sort of the last Washington institution that has not leaked. The president is probably sitting in the White House right now reading and trying to figure out this decision just as everybody is. And remember that...
And I should say on that CNN saying, mandate struck down. So here we are teetering on this even as we try and cover it as it emerges, Jody.
And I wanted to add that this is a classic thing with big Supreme Court decisions. We really have to ask for listeners' patience on this because these decisions are long, they're complicated to read, it takes the most expert court reporters to decipher them quickly, and there's a history of people being wrong when they first read them. That's what happened with Bush v. Gore in 2000. And so it may be that it takes the rest of the day to truly untangle what this means.
Well, all this history, this is kind of incredible. The country waiting, and we're getting conflicting headlines and summaries coming out at this point. Mandate struck down, says CNN. The blog, SCOTUS blog, which covers the Supreme Court rulings very closely, saying mandate upheld. So at this moment, at this minute, we still don't know. And Jack Beatty, so much riding in the balance here. This is some wild moment for the country, looking at its past and its future.
It is, and it's the culmination, as I said, of 100 years of agitation and work for a national health insurance scheme.
Jack, MSNBC now saying Supreme Court upholds Obama's health care law. We'll look at the politics of this as we go. Go on, Jack, go on.
It looks like CNN was Dewey beats Truman.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, Jack.
SCOTUS blog saying Chief Justice Roberts' vote saved the Affordable Care Act, the Obama health care reform. We are teetering still here, Jack. As this thing has been in the balance for, as you say, a century.
Yes. And, I started to read earlier Justice Kennedy's comment in oral argument where he was saying, in effect, well, this you're calling it a penalty in the law, but Congress really meant it as a tax. It just didn't say tax because that's politically difficult.
ABC now says the mandate stays. Go on,
yes,
Jack.
Yes. Let's treat it as a tax. Well, if you consider it a tax, there's no question about Congress having the power to do this under the taxing power of the Constitution.
And that apparently, but we don't know yet, but first reports are that that's what's happened with Chief Justice Roberts on that side. But CNN says mandate struck down. Jody Kantor, this could be a wild hour of back and forth interpretation here.
I think it could. It looks so far, what we think we see is that Chief Justice Roberts voted to uphold the Affordable Care Act. But like everything else we say, it has to be with an asterisk right now.
NPR says the mandate is upheld. Gail Chadwick, Christian Science Monitor, says CNN got it wrong. We're bringing it all to you as it happens. Here's Politico. Individual mandate upheld by Supreme Court. It looks like the balance of interpretation is going that way and going that way rapidly. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We are live and listening with the nation in this hour to the Supreme Court's historic ruling today. Minute by minute, it is coming out on health care reform. The Affordable Care Act cases before the court, and we are rolling with history this hour. Let me give you the headlines as they stand right now. First word out of the court, and we had it here in the minute of its delivery, was the individual mandate upheld, and with that, and Chief Justice John Roberts concurring with that, the reforms upheld. CNN came out and said, no, mandate down. Now the lead CNN headline, correction, CNN correcting itself. The Supreme Court backs all parts of Obama's signature health care law. It looks as though, indeed, the mandate has been upheld. And with that, and we will know more minute by minute as we go here, the bulk, maybe nearly all, of the health care reforms. Here, the court says this is coming out from SCOTUS blog. The court reinforces that individuals can simply refuse to pay the tax and not comply with the mandate. Here's a wrinkle. We'll have to see what that means. So it's a tax, but people can refuse to pay. We will see how this unfolds minute by minute as the court's decision is better understood. It's coming out from the court in Washington today, and we're bringing it to you just as quickly as it emerges. Lead headlines now, the individual mandate survives. We'll look at what provisions may be within and around that decision and how the court voting has broken down here. Stuart Altman is with us. He's a health economist, one of the nation's top experts on health care policy, served as an advisor on health care policy for the 08 Obama campaign. Also with us right now from Seattle, Kurt Lash, professor of law and director of the program on constitutional theory, history, and law at the University of Illinois. Professor Lash in Seattle, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom.
And with us from Bethesda, Maryland, Gail Wilensky, an advisor to John McCain's campaign, contributor to the McCain Healthcare Plan, economist, senior fellow at Project Hope. Gail Wilensky in Bethesda, Maryland, thank you very much for being with us, Gail.
Pleasure to be here.
Professor Lash, first to you. I assume you're following this just as quickly as you can alongside us here at a distance.
That's right.
What's your interpretation at this point of what's coming down?
Well, this is very surprising, and it's getting even more surprising as more news is beginning to trickle out. First of all,
The New York Times headline here: Supreme Court allows healthcare law to largely stand. Just sharing, sorry, Professor.
No, that's fine, mm-hmm. And we'll get more news, I'm sure, as we continue to talk. No one expected this to go in the direction of a tax decision. I think that's what makes it surprising. That argument had been raised in the lower courts and had been uniformly rejected. So it's interesting to see them decide that this can be upheld as a tax, as sort of the broad part of the broad tax and spending powers of the United States. It's also a much closer opinion, I think, as far as I can tell, than what most people anticipated. It looks like it's going to be 5-4.
Gail Wilensky, you've looked at this from a conservative perspective. There has been a lot of anticipation of a strike down here by the court. It looks as though, broadly speaking, that is not happening. You're largely upheld now, the New York Times headline. What are you seeing emerge here, Gail?
Well, the question always was not whether this is good policy, but whether it is constitutional.
Yes.
And I agree with Kurt's comment. The issue was whether or not this was a tax or a fee. We know that the federal government has a right to tax its citizens, but of course the Congress went to great lengths to not call it a tax. In my previous life, I ran Medicare, and I was sorry that the administration didn't borrow a page from Medicare, which tells seniors that you don't have to buy Part B that pays for physician coverage under Medicare. But if you don't, in the first year you're eligible and don't have other coverage, for every month that you wait, you are charged a penalty because you impose costs on other people. Nobody's ever accused Medicare of having a mandate, and yet it's a very powerful deterrent from not getting the coverage. So there are other ways to get people in. I had thought that might be the next page that the administration considered if this had been struck down. But, of course, if it's not, as it appears it hasn't been, then there's no issue, except that I don't know what it means of you don't have to pay the tax. It is a pretty wimpy penalty if you don't buy it. That's always been one of my questions, is if you really want to get people in, this is a very, very light tap on the wrist if you don't have to buy insurance.
A 5-4 decision upholding the individual mandate as a tax. Chief Justice John Roberts joining the majority here. Dissent written together in this 110-page decision of the Supreme Court today. The dissent written by Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, and Alito. Concurring opinion written by Justice Ginsburg, 5-4, the Supreme Court upholds the individual mandate as a tax. Kurt Lash, Professor Lash, what does this mean about how the court approached this in constitutional interpretive terms?
Well, I think the way they, again, I'm having to go by what's trickling out, but I think the way they managed to construe this as a tax is, as part of the oral argument, the question was whether or not people were going to be considered as having violated the law if they didn't purchase insurance and therefore were being penalized.
Let me chip in here, Kurt, if I may. Chief Justice John Roberts issuing a long opinion here and all this just tumbling out, so forgive me if I interrupt, but I know you want the information as well as our listeners. Sure. Justice Roberts saying in his long opinion, in which he said the controversial individual mandate may be upheld and is within Congress' power under the taxing clause rather than the commerce clause, Professor.
So what it appears that they've done is, instead of construing this as a penalty, it's purchase insurance as a way to get out of paying a tax. But if you don't purchase insurance, then, you know, the Congress will exercise its taxing power and impose this as a tax. So I think that's the way they avoided this as a penalty for not entering the stream of commerce. I also want to say that I think there is a sleeper issue beginning to emerge here that may be quite significant down the road. It's the Medicaid portion of this opinion, where they've upheld the Medicaid expansion, but only under the condition that it not be construed to allow the federal government to withdraw all Medicaid funding if states refuse to expand their Medicaid program.
Now, this is quite consequential, is it not? Because if that's the case, that is the leverage of the federal government. If states refuse to do it, it takes away the stick, does it not?
That is exactly right. And this is extremely significant, not only for how this is going to be interpreted going forward, but this also seems to indicate the emergence of a brand new area of law. The court, we're going to have to read through the opinion, look at what the test actually is, but it appears for the first time they have ruled that Congress cannot coerce the states in a manner that would withdraw all previously granted funding.
This could have implications right across a policy spectrum. I mean, you name it, education, there's so many areas in which federal money comes down. It comes down with strings attached.
That is exactly right, and I think that may end up being one of the most important rulings of the decision today.
Let me read here. The court upholds that the mandate
violates the Commerce Clause, but that does not matter here. This is coming from SCOTUS blog, coming right out of the big decision today, because the court says there are 5 votes for the mandate to be constitutional under the taxing power. Justice Ginsburg making clear that the vote 5-4 on sustaining the mandate is sustaining it as a form of tax. Her opinion for herself and Justices Sotomayor, Breyer, and Kagan joins the key section of the Roberts opinion on that point. She would go further and uphold the mandate under the Commerce Clause. Roberts does not. Her opinion on commerce does not control in this 5-4 decision. Stuart Altman, as you're reading this, let's set Medicare aside for the moment, but the rest of the reforms, do they appear to be standing? I mean, there's no issue of severability here because the mandate, you don't have to sever, the mandate's there. It's there as a tax. Does this mean that the Obama health care reforms are still on the rails?
Absolutely. No one questioned the other aspects of the law. The question was, and some people, I said, overplayed the hand, that if the mandate was ruled unconstitutional, it would sink the whole law. The fact that the mandate is now ruled as constitutional, the rest of the law will go into effect. And over time, what exists in the law other than the mandate may turn out to even be more important about restructuring our healthcare system to lower the growth in health costs and improve the quality.
We've got listeners responding as this historic decision comes down from the Supreme Court today, and we're giving it to you second by second as it comes. But the individual mandate, that means everybody in paying for insurance, and those revenues support the whole program. If that went away, the whole thing was in doubt. That upheld by the Supreme Court. John Roberts, Chief Justice, saying the court does not express any opinion on the wisdom of the health care law that is reserved to the people. But the court has upheld the key pillar that supports the Obama health care reforms. Let's hear from the people. Bell Buckle, Tennessee. Rebecca, thanks for calling, Rebecca.
Hi, Tom. I just think your show's the best in the know, so thanks for being educationally on point and letting this come through. I just want to say I'm really happy that this has happened today, whether, you know, it has passed or not. I'm so proud of President Obama for being a transformational president. And I'm a nurse, so I hear patients tell me this is an important issue to me, whether I can choose between getting my medicine or not. And they come to the hospital and they can't get their medicine. So I voted for Obama specifically for health care, and I'm very excited that this is happening. And I also want to say quickly that one of my friends on Facebook told me I was anti-godly because I supported him over the recent gay thing, but I am just proud of him that he's trying to make a difference for Americans.
Rebecca, we've got it, and we appreciate your call very much. There are more coming out right now as Justice Kennedy reading from his dissent, and this is 5-4. This is representing the four, the losing side in the court. Kennedy in his dissent saying, in our view, this is Kennedy, Scalia, Alito, Thomas, saying, in our view, the entire act before us is invalid in its entirety. But that is the minority position in the Supreme Court today as this comes down. Leonore in Waltham, Massachusetts. Leonore, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say I'm not at all surprised. I thought it was going to be upheld. I couldn't imagine Chief Justice Roberts would want overturning this law to be his legacy, because no matter what happens on the Roberts Court, this is what he's going to be known for. I also think that as a fairly young man who himself has had some health problems, a few years ago, I recall he had some sort of health trouble.
Seizure on the golf course.
Something like that.
Justice Roberts.
He's fine now, thank goodness. But he's a fairly young man who's had some health problems. He's got children. I believe in humanity. He's a brilliant legal scholar, but this reaffirms his humanity. I thought, as a person who really understands the meaning of what it means to have a health problem, to have health care, to recover from it.
Well, we shouldn't overinterpret. Maybe you're right there. He's not the only justice who's had health issues. Of course, everybody does sooner or later. But he came in saying he wanted to be a straight-up umpire on this. He's saying explicitly, this is not about the reform. It's about the constitutionality. But it, of course, goes to the reform here. Nancy Pelosi now on Twitter celebrating, saying, victory for the American people, millions! Nancy Pelosi saying millions of American families and children will have certainty of health care benefits and affordable care. Gail Walensky, surely this is going to be received with some considerable dismay on the other side of the aisle in Congress.
Well, actually, I think for Republicans, I've been saying this now to a number of people, I think this solidifies their rallying call that if you don't like the legislation, then you need to vote for people who will change it substantially or repeal it. That's the way we take care of policy and legislation that we don't like. If it's constitutional or not, that's what the court tells us. As Justice Roberts made clear, he was not opining on whether it's good policy.
This was John Boehner on March 20th, 2010, just before the House of Representatives passed the Obama health care law. Then minority leader stood on the floor of Congress, said the law went against the will of the American people.
Shame on us. Shame on this body. Shame on each and every one of you who substitutes your will and your desires above those of your fellow countrymen.
That was John Boehner in 2010, but today the Supreme Court has gone the other way. And here, summarizing, this is from SCOTUS blog, Amy Howe writing, in plain English says, the Affordable Care Act, that is the Obama health care reform, including its individual mandate that virtually all Americans buy health insurance, is constitutional. The Supreme Court decides and reveals today there were not five votes to uphold it on the ground that Congress could use its power to regulate commerce between the states to require everyone to buy health insurance. However, five justices have agreed that the penalty that someone must pay if he or she refuses to buy insurance is a kind of tax that Congress can impose using its taxing power. That is all that matters. SCOTUS blog writing here, because the mandate survives, the court did not need to decide what other parts of the statute were constitutional, except for a provision that required states to comply with new eligibility requirements for Medicaid or risk losing their funding. On that question, the court held that the provision is constitutional as long as states would only lose new funds if they didn't comply with the new requirements rather than all of their funding. Less leverage there for the federal government on that front. Jack Beatty, you're listening here. As here we are. I mean, it was all up in the air. The court could have gone either way. Everybody knew that. And here we have a decision that whatever Chief Justice Roberts thinks of the merits of the reform itself, this does go to the American Social Compact.
It does indeed. And it also goes to the political courage of President Obama. You know, in 2009, just elected, his counselors, Joe Biden, David Axelrod, and others, all urged him, put off major health care reform. Go small, Rahm Emanuel told him. The president rejected that advice. He said, this is about whether we are going to get big things done. And when the bill was passed in March, he said, after nearly 100 years of talk and frustration, we proved we are a people still capable of doing big things. We don't fear the future. We shape the future. He gambled on the future, and it looks like he won.
This is not over. It will be a huge political issue and much more of that to come. But the Supreme Court in an historic ruling today, and we're bringing it to you headline by headline, blog post by blog post from inside the court as it comes down. Here's the New York Times. Supreme Court allows health care law largely to stand, and saying the decision was a striking victory for the president and congressional Democrats, with a majority of the court, including the conservative Chief Justice John Roberts, affirming the central legislative pillar of Mr. Obama's term. Stuart, you must have been sweating this thing. You advised Obama on this.
Well, yes, I did. But as I said in the beginning, Obama himself during the campaign did not have an individual mandate. And there was the part that really was I was really afraid is that the decision that Kennedy is articulating, that the whole law should be struck down, is what I really was afraid of, because my feeling had always been that the individual mandate was not as important as some would believe, and that the law has so many good features in it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We are live and listening with the nation as the Supreme Court's historic ruling today in this hour on health care reform comes down in Washington. The Affordable Care Act case is before the court, and the decision, 5-4, with the conservative Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the majority, the mandate at the heart of the reforms, the individual mandate to buy health insurance or pay a tax, upheld, not on the basis of the Constitution, the Commerce Clause, but as a tax, and with that, the Obama healthcare reforms, the signature policy initiative, massive initiative of the president's term, upheld by the court. There is sharp dissent among the four dissenters, but there is a victory today for Obama health care reform. Here was Terry Moran of ABC summarizing Chief Justice Roberts' opinion outside the court.
In this opinion, what he said was the health care law can be sustained if we look at it in a certain way, not as a mandate, not as a command that every American has to buy health insurance, but as a legitimate tax on those who choose not to.
A legitimate tax on those who choose not to. With that, cries of yes, we can from Obama and reform supporters outside the court, but also anger from those who hoped for, many of whom expected a rejection by the Supreme Court. Here's a national coordinator for the Tea Party reacting on the Supreme Court's courthouse steps to the ruling.
To those that are rejoicing that this monstrosity is partially upheld, I've got four little words for you.
This is not over. Congress, Republicans in the House promising to repeal, and of course this will be at front and center in all the campaigns going forward this fall. We've got a great panel with us in this hour to look at what is happening and has just happened here. Gail Wilensky is with us from Bethesda, Maryland. She was an advisor to John McCain's campaign, a contributor to the McCain health care plan on the conservative side on this issue. She joins us from Bethesda, Maryland. She's now at Project Hope. Stuart Altman is with us, a health economist, one of the nation's top experts on health care policy. He served as an advisor on health care policy to the 08 Obama campaign. He's professor of national health policy at the Brandeis University, the Heller School of Social Policy and Management at Brandeis. Kurt Lash is with us. He's a professor of law, director of the program on constitutional theory, history, and law at the University of Illinois. Joins us today from Seattle. Our own Jack Beatty is here as well. Professor Lash, you're continuing to watch the elements of this decision come down with the rest of us here. What's catching your eye as you read and watch?
Well, again, as we watch analysis slowly but surely trickle forward, I think something that is going to begin to occur to people as they move past the policy implications of this decision is that the constitutional components of the decision seem to have placed a majority of the court on the side of the opponents of Obamacare. It appears as if a majority of the court has accepted every one of the major constitutional arguments being put forward by opponents of the act. They seem to have agreed that this would be an unconstitutional exercise of the commerce power. They seem to have agreed that coercing the states, the way it appeared Congress could do, would violate 10th Amendment principles of state autonomy. The only thing that prevented opponents from prevailing in the case was a bare majority deciding that this could be construed as a tax, and the opponents of the act didn't deny that this could be constitutional as a tax. They simply took the position, as did every lower court, that this was not passed as a tax and therefore it couldn't be construed as one. So the constitutional implications, again, I think are quite significant here. Going down the road, it appears that there is a majority of the court that really has adopted the conservative position regarding limited congressional power, at least under the Commerce Clause.
Gail Wilensky, a bare majority construing as a tax. Of course, 5-4 decisions have become all too familiar from the Supreme Court. It's a typical majority in so many cases lately. Does it matter, Gail, if there's a lot of disagreement with some of the original arguments for this, if the court comes and finds, well, it's a tax and so it stands?
There are a couple ways to look at it. One, there were a lot of people who said they hoped it wouldn't be 5-4. They would have much rather have it be 6-3, 7-2, nothing that narrow. And a lot of liberals before were saying, oh, it's going to be really terrible if it's 5-4. It's struck down and it's only the conservatives. So there's some bemusement about that 5-4 that actually resulted. But, you know, this is something where now it is going to focus people to think about the actual policies that are contained. Majority of Americans do not support Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act, however you want to call it. It will be interesting to see whether or not the administration has any more intent to put this up front and center. They have basically
to put what up front and center, Gail? You mean the whole reform?
The health care reform.
But they hardly need to, right? I mean, it's rolling forward unless it's blocked, and this was the potential.
It won't be stopped in terms of whether if they they want to take as much credit for it as it sounds like they're saying now they want to do. It's just been very interesting that it's hardly ever spoken about in the election period. And, of course, given the fact that the majority of Americans do not support the act, at least as of the present time, I guess not very surprising. It will again remind people that we have a legitimate way to change legislation that the country turns against. It's called the Congress. And that's really going to be the message for conservatives or anybody who doesn't like some or all aspects of the legislation. Elect a Congress, elect a president who promises to do what you think is better if you don't like what we've got. And that's going to be the message.
That is the reaction coming out in all these minutes as we're speaking here from Republican National Committee, GOP members, saying the High Court has, quote, set the stakes of the November election. This is the Republican National Committee Chairman Ron Rince Priebus saying the only way to defeat what the RNC calls Obamacare is to elect a new president. He describes the Affordable Care Act as a budget-busting government takeover. And he says a panel of unelected bureaucrats now has the unprecedented authority to come between elderly patients and their doctors. Well, this is the debate we know. On the other side, supporters celebrating Stuart Olney.
Yes, Tom, two things I would say. First of all, I don't want to take anything away from the legal issue, but 90% of Americans that are concerned about this are concerned because of its impact on our healthcare system. And to that, I would say the following. One of the concerns and one of the criticisms of President Obama and the White House is that they have not sold this law. They have allowed the critics of the law to distort it, to make it sound much worse than it is. You know, the comments that Gail, my friend, make absolutely no sense if you look at it in the context that this is a government takeover, that somehow the government is going to run our healthcare system. That is solely not true. So what's going to happen is that this president is going to have to make the case of why this is a good law. And I'm more than optimistic that when Americans really see what's inside the law and what it actually does, the majority of Americans will be in favor of it and actually be a big plus for the president. But he has to get out there and sell it and explain what are all the good features of this law, and there are many.
Jack Beattie, how do you expect this now to flow into the campaign season? Gail Wilensky is right. President Obama has not been fiercely loud on the health care front. Of course, he's spoken about it, but many
not
have observed,
enough,
even his supporter Stuart Altman says, now he has what's being interpreted as a victory before the Supreme Court, 5-4 decision today upholding the central pillar of these reforms, the individual mandate. How do you think this will roll forward, Jack? Republicans already saying, here it is. This is the challenge. We must defeat this president. How do you think the president will carry this?
I think that this is going to help the president. It'll give a fillip to his argument, and it'll persuade undecided voters. Well, we were dubious about this law, some of us for constitutional reasons. The court isn't. The Chief Justice, a Republican appointee with a decisive vote, maybe we ought to take it seriously. And you know, what Stuart says is right. When you start to look into the data, there are elements of the plan that are very popular among people, up into the 70%. It's the mandate that isn't. Now the mandate is, quote, a tax. I don't know whether that'll make it less or more popular, but I think it gives the president a great deal of talking room, and he hasn't talked about it much because it's seemed toxic to him. Now I think it's a healthy, he's got a healthy patient.
Here we are, Jake in New Haven, Connecticut, calling in along with lots of others. Jake, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
I wanted to just make a brief comment as a medical student, so really as someone who's sort of gearing up to kind of inherit the healthcare system from the provider side. And, you know, I think that the decision today is really a huge victory for social justice in this country and really for patients. And I can tell you that I've seen, even in just a few years of medical training, so many people who have struggled with being uninsured or underinsured or just not being able to really, pay for their own medical care. And I think that as we go forward, more and more people will see the benefits of the law and, you know, they will understand why it's so helpful. And I think when more of the reforms kick in now, and, you know, in 2014, that will really make a huge difference. So I just wanted to make that comment and share my support as a future physician for this decision, for this law.
Jake, good luck with your career and operating in whatever system we end up with here as you go. We hear your celebration today as a med school student. Tito in Buffalo, New York. Tito, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I'm a supporter, Obama supporter, and I support healthcare reform, but I really disagree with the mandate, and I was disappointed that it was upheld because, to me, it seems like a blank tool to privatize anything. I think it could be used to privatize Social Security or, I mean, any government service could theoretically be privatized if you can mandate people to pay for it.
Well, I mean, you're already mandated to pay for Social Security, right? And we do that.
Right, but through the government, but they could mandate you to buy...
Oh, I should go out and buy something private. Yeah.
For your retirement or, I mean... Really, theoretically, anything, if the government can require you to buy it from a private industry, any government service could be privatized. And I'm really worried that conservatives will try to use the mandate to privatize basically everything.
Tito, we've got it. Concern there over how this is working, though. Interestingly, the court in its 5-4 decision upholding the individual mandate saying we're upholding this as a tax, not an element under the Commerce Clause. Lots of reaction to this. A lot of fiery reaction, a lot of celebration. Sarah Palin tweeting, Obama lied to the American people. He said it wasn't a tax. Sarah Palin writing, Obama lies, freedom dies. Just letting you know. Nancy in Omaha, Nebraska. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to comment as, you know, kind of Joe average citizen that this decision and the process is just part of our democratic process. Like the decision or not, we need to embrace it, accept it, run with it. I'm sure the law will need some tweaks as we move forward and find out what works and doesn't work. My fear is if we elect a new administration and strike the law down in total and start from ground zero, we will get absolutely nowhere with the divisive partisan politics.
But that is the question that will clearly be put before the American people now in the wake of this Supreme Court ruling in this hour. Nancy in Omaha, thanks for your call. Republicans already saying repeal is now the goal, and that would take a Republican Congress and a Republican president. They're saying Brian in Stowe, Massachusetts. Brian, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Jack. The Supreme Court just decided that the president who promised never to raise taxes on the middle class just did. He's also given... The Romney campaign, a great way to distinguish Romney Care from the Affordable Health Care Act. It's going to be difficult for not only the president, but all the Democrats to run on a very unpopular law, plus another broken promise.
Brian, we've got it. We've got it. And down comes this decision. We're looking at the big decision from the Supreme Court today, 5-4, upholding that individual mandate. As a tax, it stands, and with that, the majority of the Obama health care reform stands. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Reading here from SCOTUS blog, again, bringing down the interpretation as it rolls out of this big stack of a decision. We've got it in front of us right here now in the studio, and it is a thick, long, big decision from the Supreme Court, 5-4, with Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the majority. SCOTUS blog saying, essentially, a majority of the court has accepted the administration's backup argument that, as Roberts put it, the mandate can be regarded as establishing a condition, not owning health insurance, that triggers a tax, the required payments to the IRS. Actually, this was the administration's second backup argument. First argument was Commerce Clause. Second was Necessary and Proper Clause. Third was a tax. The third argument won. Lyle Denniston writing here, the rejection of the Commerce Clause and Necessary and Proper Clause should be understood as a major blow to Congress's authority to pass social welfare laws using the tax code. Especially in the current political environment, to promote social welfare is going to be a very chancy proposition. Kurt Lash just goes to your point. Something given here, but in a sense to the Democrats and Congress, but also something maybe taken away in precedent.
I think that is entirely correct. The constitutional analysis, again, everyone's attention right now, and quite reasonably so, is on the policy implications of the decision, and it will be upheld. It'll go forward, but the majority of attention that scholars and courts were paying to this case had to do with its legal and constitutional dimensions and whether or not Congress could actually use their commerce power to require people to make private purchases. And there seems to be a clear majority by the court, that that would not be upheld. You're not going to be able to force people to purchase broccoli or purchase cars or anything else along those lines. And I've just been reading the opinion itself, so
yes,
really making my way through it.
Mm-hmm.
And in Roberts, Chief Justice Roberts' opinion, he expressly adopts the activity-non-activity distinction, which conservative opponents of the act had been pressing and which had been...
That is, you can't make me do something.
That's exactly right. And according, just quoting from Chief Justice Roberts, as expansive as our cases construing the scope of the commerce power have been, they all have one thing in common. They uniformly describe the power as reaching activity. It is nearly impossible to avoid the word when quoting them. I think that's very significant for their analysis of Commerce Clause powers and the powers of Congress in general going forward.
Does it put at risk existing programs of the federal government, or is it all about what might come in the future?
It draws a line. I think, again, working through the opinions, mm-hmm, I think we're going to find that the court indicates that they have upheld a congressional exercise of the commerce power when it came to people who had acted and placed themselves within commercial markets and thereby subjecting themselves to congressional regulation, but that this was an extraordinary or a significant advance beyond that that raised significant constitutional problems because they now were regulating people's failure to act. That was the biggest concern of constitutional opponents of the act.
Stuart Altman, here you are on healthcare reform. There's much more to look at, but on these reforms and this decision, your sense unto this hour, in this hour, what do you have here?
Mine is that, as Gail pointed out, it is going to move to the electorate the presidential election. I'm confident that the president is going to make a strong case for it and he will get reelected.
In this hour, the Supreme Court, 5-4, upholds the individual mandate and with that largely upholds the Obama health care reforms. There is much more to learn on this and we will do exactly that in the days and weeks ahead. Stuart Altman of Brandeis, thank you for being with us. Gail Wilensky, who advised John McCain on health care, thank you very much. Kurt Lash from the University of Illinois, our own Jack Beatty, thanks to you all for rolling with history and the healthcare decision in this hour with us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.